Whether you're splitting a ride to the stadium or grabbing nachos for the group, Venmo makes it easy to share the fun and split the bill in the app. Sign up today with promo code SBNation and get $10 to send and spend. Offer ends December 31st, 2021. Limited availability. See terms at venmo.me/signup10.
Everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, Amazing Amity's Modeling Podcast. I am Steve Saipa, and I'm joined this week by Lucas Vlahos and Ken Lavin and Thomas Henderson. How are you guys doing this week?
Pretty good. Well,
good.
Be better if there were still, you know, baseball things happening.
Yeah, that's puts a damper on things. Now I'm going to have to pay attention to, like, the Giants and the Rangers and the Nets, which is, like, two good and one really
oh
bad.
No, you have to pay attention to the Nets.
I know, right?
Tell me, a Sixers fan, how bad that is to have to watch James Harden and Kevin Durant every night.
Before we start this show, how did you wind up a Sixers fan, a Mets fan, a Patriots fan?
So the Patriots fan was because I was watching a Super Bowl when I was little, liked their colors more, stuck with it, and but I kind of don't care about football anymore.
Right, okay.
But that's like valid.
I literally don't watch football anymore. Basketball, I got into them during the process era because I enjoyed
the process.
Yeah, I enjoyed the process. I enjoyed, like, yelling about them getting screwed over by the league, which they absolutely did. And also, like, they've got a bunch of fun players that have held my interest. Like, Joel Embiid is a load of fun. I would die for Matisse Thybulle because he's, like, the most incredible defender in the NBA. So,
get Lucas, you trusting the process all the way to a fandom is, like, absolutely perfect.
Yeah. It really tracks with, you know, a lot of things.
And it worked, for the most part.
Well, if I'd just been a Nets fan, which I could have been since I grew up in New Jersey, things would be working a lot better now, wouldn't they? And yes.
All right. So today is the last night of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah to our Jewish listeners out there. And in honor of that, who are we going to promote, extend, or trade in all of these very, very inspired performances of Jewish actors?
See, I thought you were going to go Jewish athletes, and I was going to make an airplane joke. Do you have anything light? Jewish sports stars.
Hank Greenberg, Sandy Cohen, Sandy Koufax, that's it.
Jason Kipnis.
Is he Jewish?
Kevin, his dad is, I think. He's like half Jewish.
Kevin Youglis.
Yes.
Was also Jewish?
Yeah.
Huh, I never knew that.
You know, all those noted Greek Jews.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't realize there were a lot of Greek Jews. That's cool.
All right, so first up we have Judd Hirsch as Julius Levinson in Independence Day. Next we have Billy Crystal as Miracle Max in The Princess Bride. And last up, we have Jerry Stiller as Maury Ballstein in Zoolander.
I have a confession to make. I've never seen Zoolander.
I've never seen Princess Bride.
That's worse.
I don't know what's worse.
I have a second confession to make. I think Princess Bride is horribly overrated.
It is. I can agree with that. But it is funny.
It's one of those movies you should probably, like, I should probably see, just because it's such a cultural thing.
Well, Lucas, you've disappointed me.
Uh-huh.
Thomas, you've disappointed me. Ken, do you have any confessions to make?
What was the third movie? I've seen the other two, but I can't remember the first character you said.
Zoolander.
No. Zoolander, I've seen. Princess Bride, I've seen.
Oh, Independence Day.
I don't think I've seen Independence Day.
Oh, my God.
It's good. It's good.
People.
The first one is good. The second one is not.
Oh, I haven't even seen it. It's bad.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so bad.
I heard it was really bad, and I was like, nope, I don't have to spoil the first movie because it's great.
Yeah, it's just a movie that really didn't need to be made.
I mean, if you're making Independence Day and you can't get Will Smith, what's the point?
Yeah. Literally, just don't make it.
I'm extending Independence Day, promoting... I'm going to promote Zoolander, even though I've never seen it. I'm going to trade Princess Bride just because I think it's overrated.
I mean, at least you know the Zoolander memes, I'm assuming.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
This is very much like The Office, which I've never watched either, and I just know it through the memes.
Hmm. I didn't watch The Office until like maybe a year ago, and it is pretty funny. And it is always on TV, on some channel, basically 24/7, so...
I can't do cringe humor.
See, it might be my favorite show of all time. I was literally just watching it before recording with you guys. So
I've watched it a few times. It's good background noise for me.
Yeah.
Like I could just throw it on and like kind of forget that I'm watching it while I'm writing something because I don't like writing in like complete silence.
Just makes me want to like die in my seat. I can't do it. I can't do it.
All right, well, this is a horrible fail. This was a horrible fail.
Hey, it's better than the wrestling ones.
When do I do wrestling? Like, every once in a while.
Yeah, when do I give you shit about it? More often than you do the wrestling ones. That's probably true.
Yeah. All right, so listen. Since I started playing Mass Effect, Lucas, you're going to watch Princess Bride. Ken,
I have to watch Zoolander.
No, you're gonna, okay. I have to watch Princess Bride.
Yeah. I'll make that trade.
You know your assignments.
We'll reconvene in 2 hours after we've all watched the movies. Ready? Break.
All right, so we'll start this week off by addressing the elephant in the room, and that is the fact that last Wednesday, on December 1st, the collective bargaining agreement between Major League Baseball and MLB Players Union expired, and then at 12:01 on the 2nd, Major League Baseball officially instituted a lockout. Rob Manfred, he published a letter. I'm not going to quote the entire thing here, but he said that, quote, "This defensive lockout was necessary because the Players Association's vision for Major League Baseball would threaten the ability of most teams to be competitive, and that the MLBPA, quote, came to the bargaining table with a strategy of confrontation over compromise and never wavered from collectively the most extreme set of proposals in their history, including significant cuts to the revenue sharing system, a weakening of the competitive balance tax, and the shortening of period of time that major league players can play for their teams." End quote. So the MLBPA, they responded by saying, quote, "Major League Baseball has announced a lockout of players, shutting down our industry. This shutdown is a dramatic measure regardless of the timing. It is not required by law or for any other reason. It was the owner's choice, plain and simple, specifically calculated to pressure players into relinquishing rights and benefits and abandoning good faith bargaining proposals that will benefit not just the players, but the game and industry as a whole. We remain determined to return to the field under the terms of a negotiated collective bargaining agreement that is fair to all parties and provides fans with the best version of the game that we all love," end quote. So.
Oh, boy.
We could, we could go on and on and on about the ramifications of this. What things are on the bargaining table, what we think of them, who's to blame, owners.
Yes.
But
you got a cough there, Steve.
Yeah, no, it's cold out, you know. So we are a minor league podcast, so we're gonna focus on stuff that goes on, at the DSL FCL complex, and then St. Lucie, Brooklyn, Binghamton, Syracuse. So
we'd love to have our minor leaguers not unionized. It's just great.
Yeah.
Just wonderful.
Well, yeah, that is an important thing to mention, because right off the bat, it's important to know that minor leaguers here, they don't have a voice at the table. This is conflict between Major League Baseball and the Players Union, and minor league players are not a part of either. They've basically fallen through the cracks intentionally, unfortunately.
It's ridiculous, frankly, but
Yeah, because this stuff matters to them. Like, there's going to be decisions made about minor league stuff, and they just don't have a seat at the table to have an opinion.
I will give, without derailing Steve's plan not to talk about this too much, I'll give the like head union guys a little bit of credit. They've talked about making sure younger guys gets paid, which would help the minor leaguers who do make it. But a lot of other stuff they could and should have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
So basically, if the lockout is prolonged and it continues through the winter and then into the spring and the MLB season doesn't start on time, the minor league season will start because, again, these guys, you know, it's a conflict between Major League Baseball Players Union and Major League Baseball, and all of these prospect and minor leaguers who are in the minor leagues are not part of that. So the minor league season will go on as continued. But there is an asterisk there because prospects who are on the 40-man roster are MLBPA union members. And as such, they will not be able to participate in baseball, in minor league baseball activities, if there is a lockout. So in the Mets case, if the lockout continues into the spring and we have minor league baseball only, it will be without Jose Budo, Adam Oller, Thomas Zabucki, Patrick Mazeika, Travis Blankenhorn, Khalil Lee, Nick Plummer, Ryan Mauricio, and Mark Vientos, who are, you know, they're all on the 40-man roster.
That's an interesting little twist to that.
Yeah.
Just oof. A lot of these guys need the reps.
Yeah. It's unfortunate for them.
It's also important to note that if there is a minor league season and no MLB season, and the owners try to do something, don't even know really the best terms to use here. If the owners try to get scabs to fill in and try to have quote unquote major league games, and they have minor leaguers come up to fill some roles, they're not really crossing the picket line because, I mean, these guys are kind of caught in the middle between everything.
I'm pretty sure they don't ever get to join the union, though.
I'm not really sure. I know scabs don't. You know, who was the Mets guy? Was it Bobby Jones?
Rick Reed.
Reed, okay, yeah. Like, I know he was basically barred from the union because he crossed the picket line because, you know, he needed to take care of, you know, his family and everything. I'm not sure if that applies to minor league players who do, because they really don't have the option, you know.
My hot take is that it certainly shouldn't. These guys are, they're young kids, many of them with no money, many of them from different countries who are basically totally at the mercy of their major league organization, both in terms of their livelihood and for the foreign guys, even being able to stay here. So.
Yeah, it's putting them in a really bad position.
I'm not going to vilify any of them who should this rather extreme outcome come to pass. Like, I'm not going to vilify any of them who do that.
No. It's basically, you know, mom and dad are getting divorced and little kids are stuck in between.
I mean, hey, maybe if MLB tries to do that and the players don't want it to happen, they should tell the minor leaguers, we'll let you in the union if you don't cross the picket line. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they wouldn't be as likely to cross the picket line if they were part of the union in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just, it's also going to get real ugly before it gets better. Like, just all around, like, the players are obviously, and they should be very stuck in because they really shouldn't, I don't want to say negotiate because they should, but they really shouldn't, like, they should get what they need because the players get screwed in baseball and, like, the owners are just assholes. So it's going to be real ugly before we get a solution. And it just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the most immediate impacts of the lockout in so much as it concerning us is that the Rule 5 draft is not going to be taking place now. Major League Baseball has postponed it indefinitely.
Ben Badler in shambles right now.
Poor guy.
Oh, or is it JJ Cooper? Which one of them is the one that's obsessed with the Rule 5? I forget. One of the BA guys is.
Let me walk that back a second. The major league portion of the Rule 5 draft is postponed indefinitely. But there is a minor league component of the draft where teams are able to select players in AA and AAA rosters from other teams and put them on their team. And that will still be going on. But the players involved in that are generally very lesser caliber, kind of like an afterthought. Last year, the Mets were pretty active in that part. They selected Drew Ferguson from the Astros, Justin Dillon from the Blue Jays, Joe Jackson from the Dodgers.
Does Joe Jackson have all the shoes?
And Jesus Reyes and Jose Zuria from the Reds. You know, and that's generally the kind of caliber player that you're getting during the minor league part. I didn't actually remember most of these guys that this even happened. I remember Jackson, Drew Jackson, but and Reyes, but everyone else I completely forgot about. Ferguson, Dillon, Zuria, they all flamed out pretty quickly. They had really very minimal impact in anything. Jesus Reyes, he ate some innings for Syracuse, but he wasn't particularly good. And Joe Jackson, he was solid. He was a solid everyday player for Syracuse. He hit 251, 397, 425 in 85 games. But, you know, that's like one of the best kind of outcomes for a player like that is that they do solid. Occasionally, a team will strike oil and they'll get a diamond in the rough. The Diamondbacks, they got Tyler Gilbert in the minor league part last year, and he was a pretty solid contributor for them last year. But most of the time, you're getting basically nobody in that minor league portion.
Wasn't Aller himself a minor league, Rule 5 minor league guy?
Mm-hmm. In 2019.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
And then COVID happened and everyone forgot.
Mm-hmm.
And here he is now, the 2021 minor league pitcher of the year in the Mets organization.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of outcome is definitely unusual.
Mm-hmm. And I think we were all pretty excited to talk about the Rule 5 draft this year because there were a lot of pretty interesting names available. And when I checked on Wednesday after all the signings and non-tenders and everything like that, the Mets did have one more roster spot open. So maybe they were going to pick a guy and give it a try. And with the way the Mets farm system is right now, if they did pick a guy, that person might have slotted into, you know, one of the top prospect rankings.
Yeah, it depends. But yeah, it's very possible.
Spoiler alert. They signed Nick Plummer, and he is in the Mets' top prospect list on all of our lists. So, you know, it is
like crazy. They signed him, and I was like, oh, a top 10 prospect in the system.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Which is not really what you want, but also good for Nick Plummer.
Mm-hmm.
There were legit, like, 7 or 8 guys on the Rays I was interested in. Like, it's crazy. Going through some rosters, it's crazy how much talent there would have been up for grabs. And now we don't do that for a while. Maybe we'll never do it again. Who knows how the CBA changes?
I'm sure that they'll have some sort of – I mean, it's in some form or another, this kind of concept has existed for, like, 70 years, give or take, mm-hmm. that you can't have a team just hoarding everybody, so – But yeah, that's a very good point. I mean, with the new CBA, there might not be a Rule 5 draft as we know it.
Yeah, who knows, really? Yeah,
the mechanism could change.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that might possibly be impacted because of the lockout, and it might change, you know, once there is a new CBA, is the signing period for international rookies. That might be pushed back. We don't know right now. In the past, it used to be on July 2nd, but then with Corona, they changed it to January 15th. And, you know, now that July 2nd date is looking better than that January 15th date. Maybe maybe it gets changed and gets pushed back because, you know, everything that's going on with the lockout. Maybe it doesn't, though, because signing all these players, it is outside of the scope of the, you know, union MLB battle. But, you know, we don't know. And, you know, it's another thing that's uncertain here, but we will find out about going forward. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that we live for, and it just sucks.
Yes, I, too, would love to talk about marginal right-handed relievers for the next 2 hours, because we're literally that sickos meme.
We are.
Yes. Yes.
left-hander with control problems, but they could throw up for 90s? Hell yes.
Hell yes.
All of us are like, well, what if he figures it out for like 2 hours? It's the best.
What if Chase Fry is actually good? Probably isn't.
Corey Oswalt relief ace.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen if the Mets don't re-sign him. If they re-sign him, he'll still be Corey Oswalt. If he goes somewhere else, he's going to be great. Going to turn into Paul Sewell 2.0, and I'm going to become the Joker.
Oh, God, the Paul Sewell stuff. Just throw your really good pitch all the time. Shocker. Mm.
Does Corey Oswalt have a really good pitch, though? That's the question.
Corey Oswalt has some of the same characteristics that Sewell does, in that he had good extension and not a lot, and better than average ride on his fastball, but doesn't throw it from the right arm slot. So there are things there.
The slider too.
Mm-hmm. His slider induces a lot of whiffs. Like it's a fixable thing, but I don't trust the Mets to do it.
That does sound Sewellian.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see, I guess, if there's a season.
I mean, I would be shocked if there isn't, really, just because, like, no one really wants to lose all the money that's on the table.
And it's not like the strike. It's not like the strike in 94 where it took place, like, in the middle of the season and screwed everything up. We have literally, like, 3-4 months for them to figure this shit out.
Yeah, exactly.
I expect them to wait until they have a week.
So maybe am I like foolishly optimistic for thinking they're gonna get this done in time? Like, I don't know.
No, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. At most, like a week's delay to everything.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of feel like January teams are gonna be like, oh fuck, we might not actually play.
That's kind of their MO is use time to, you know, put pressure on the opposition.
Well, I mean, that's literally what Manfred said.
That's what they do. Yeah.
No, it's a defensive lockout, guys. It's purely defensive.
Defensive.
In defense of what is less clear, but it is defensive.
Defensive of our ability to play offense.
The best offense is a good defense? Good what?
Defense. Best offense has no DH.
Oh, that's happening, Steve. I'm sorry.
Wait. Because we're so thin on material, we should talk about that for a moment. Steve, I used to be with you. I was very anti-DH, but now I've accepted my Lord and Savior designated hitter.
Well, I'm happy to go down like all those people in Terminator 2 fighting robots for a lost cause.
Uh-huh.
Is it just like you'll miss the strategy of the no DH, or you just like it aesthetically?
I like it aesthetically. I like that. Yes, there's strategy. I like that occasionally when you have a pitcher who does do something good, it's like, oh shit, it's you know that endorphin release when you know the pitcher actually makes contact and does something good.
Let me make some counterpoints.
That's just the way that it always was, and therefore that's how it has to be.
Counterpoint, like, pitchers are practicing this less than ever. They're getting hurt constantly. People are on base less than ever, so the strategy is less important.
Also, I'm a big sacrifice bunt aficionado.
Of course you are. The one point I definitely agree with is that there is an endorphin rush. Like, it was cool when a pitcher did something. Like, that game when Thor hit 2 homers, I was going nuts. He almost hit a third one that game, which was crazy. He
really big, strong did. Man.
He got a hold of that last one. It almost went out, too, which would have been... I would have gone insane. And that's going to suck to lose... It's going to suck to lose that, but, like, objectively, I don't need to see Taiwan Walker batting with his off hand all year because his shoulders hurt.
But when he does get that hit.
Which was hilarious. So, like, for me, like, I don't even disagree with anything you're saying, Steve, except really the strategy, because I think baseball strategy is more pre-game than it is mid-game. But, like... I like when, like, 40-year-old dudes are hitting bombs. Like, Nelson Cruz having, like, a really long career is hysterical to me, and that it just doesn't happen after the age. Like, he can't play anymore. I really like that side of, like, older guys who could still contribute in that way. Or, like, there's also strategy in not having a set guy. And we need four guys who need time management. And we cycle the DH that way. Like, that strategy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the things it opens up for roster construction. That's what kind of turned me around on it, is it just gives you a lot more options on how to keep guys in the lineup, how to, you know.
It also really fits the Mets.
The Mets right desperately need it. They need it so bad. We
forever had too many.
Absolutely. If I was a rational person, I would say DH makes sense. But this is an irrational thing here.
No, I figure.
And also, Thomas, what would you rather see? 40-year-old Nelson Cruz hit a home run, or 40-year-old Bartolo Colon hit a home run?
That's the funniest moment of all time. Just like, what in the world?
I mean, but that's not the actual choice, though. It's, do I want to watch 40-year-old Nelson Cruz hit, someone pull up his Fangraphs page, 35 home runs, or do I want to watch 600 at-bats of total pitcher ineptitude just for those, like, two moments of fun?
Watch Rich Hill, like,
Rich Hill.
Last
the
year.
Only thing I will miss from no DH is Jacob DeGrom having the highest batting average on the Mets.
Mm-hmm. Listen, in your dystopian world, Grandpa Mats does not exist. Are you happy?
But a DH helps Ohtani exist, so.
True.
You really want Ohtani playing the field with how fragile he's been health-wise?
Yeah, I mean, it's not my team, so whatever.
That's fair. Fuck it. Go out there, Shohei. Go play right field.
I want the Angels' depth to be bad enough and Ohtani to teach Thor how to hit well enough that they let Thor DH in one of these games like they do Ohtani. It's the Angels. Given who they're usually running out there, it's not totally out of the question.
Michael Lorenzen, two-way player for the Angels. He wants to.
Hey, I'm here for it.
Next time you catch the big game, catch $10 when you sign up with Venmo. Whether you're splitting a ride to the stadium or grabbing nachos for the crew, Venmo makes it easy to share the fun and split the bill in the app. Keep track of shared home expenses like rent and utilities, or easily settle up after group activities like brunch with your buds or a weekend road trip. No matter how you choose to Venmo, payments are safe, secure, and lightning fast. Join over 76 million users and counting, and get $10 to send and spend when you sign up today with code SBNation. Offer ends December 31st, 2021. Limited availability. See terms at venmo.me/signup10. That's $10 with code SBNation.
What if you could quickly send money into your mom or your best friend's bank accounts? Sounds pretty great, right? That's what Zelle does every day. Zelle lets enrolled users send and receive money in just minutes, and it's in over 1,000 banking apps right now, so chances are you already have it. So when it comes time to pay back your brother for half the cute gift you found for your mom, or when you need to cover your share of the weekend ski trip where no actual skiing took place, pay with Zelle. Transactions typically happen in minutes for enrolled users, so you can spend your extra time getting ahead of gift wrapping or perfecting cookie decorating. Zelle is a great way to send money to family and friends no matter where they bank in the U.S. Look for Zelle in your banking app today.
All right, so this part now, this isn't particularly minor related, but with the lockout and all of the immediate uncertainty, a lot of our planned discussion for this week and the upcoming week, it's either going to be postponed or now it's all moot. So with that in mind, I figured we could talk about Hall of Fame ballots. That would be interesting to talk about because some of those ballots from the Baseball Writers Association of America are now starting to trickle in. There are 30 names on the ballot. 17 carried over from previous years, and then 13 of them are new additions from this year. There's Bobby Abreu, Barry Bonds, Mark Burley, Roger Clemens, Carl Crawford, Prince Fielder, Todd Helton, Ryan Howard, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Andrew Jones, Jeff Kent, Tim Lincecum, Justin Morneau, Joe Nathan, David Ortiz, Jonathan Papelbon, Jake Peavy, Andy Pettit, AJ Pierzynski, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Scott Rolen, Jimmy Rollins, Gary Sheffield, Curt Schilling, Sammy Sosa, Mark Teixeira, Omar Vizquel, and Billy Wagner. Of note, four of those guys, Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Sammy Sosa, are in their 10th year of eligibility, meaning that if they aren't elected this year, they're going to be taken off the ballot, and their candidacy will only be considered by the Hall of Fame Veterans Committee for today's game, which ironically meets in 2022 for the 2023 ballot, and then in 2024 for 2025, and 2027 for 2028. In order for a player to get elected, they need 75% of the vote. And in order to stay on the ballot, if they aren't elected, they need to have at least a 5% vote threshold. Voters can select no more than 10 players, but they don't need to select all 10 if they don't want to. I think it's stupid, but it seems like it happens pretty often. You know, if they want to select five guys, they can select five. If they want to select one guy, they can. If they want to send back a blank ballot, they can. It's a prerogative. That's pretty dumb, but whatever. So, who are you guys sending to the Hall of Fame?
Well, I gotta say, the Hall of Fame makes me feel real old now.
Yeah.
I know. This is like...
I remembered every single one of the players that you just... Like, I miss when I didn't know who the hell these people were. Like, because you rattled off those names and I was like, damn, I watched all those dudes play. Like, every single one of them.
This is, I'm pretty sure, like, the starting roster of, like, the 2005 All-Star game.
Yeah, right? Like, oh, it's rough.
Should we, like, pick off the very obvious no's first? Maybe?
All right. Well, I'll just go in order and we can discuss, I guess. Mm-hmm. So first up, Bobby Abreu.
Met yay legend.
Yes.
Met legend.
Met legend.
Going in as a Met.
Yay or nay, Bobby Abreu.
Yay.
I honestly don't remember the last time I looked up his credentials.
59.8 F4.
He is a no for better me. Statistically, he matches up fairly well. But to me, also, I think like you have to have that air about you. And to me, Bobby Abreu never had that Hall of Fame air about him, if that makes sense.
I can concede that point, yes.
I'd say he's yeah. Hall of extremely good.
Yeah, he's the Hall of good guy. It also depends on how big your Hall of Fame is.
Right, like, yeah, I'm also a pretty small Hall guy, so.
That's absolutely fair. I think he's like criminally underrated offensively, but.
He probably is. Like,
I can understand. Right. I mean, I feel like.
Yeah, he's a career 291, 395, 475 hitter. That's pretty good.
I feel like if Bobby Abreu played in modern baseball, he would be appreciated more because he was always a very high on-base percentage guy, and then he might have that sort of air about him. But in his time, he wasn't covered that way because we didn't care about those things at that time, and therefore you never quite got that same level of hype, let's say.
That's fair. That's fair, for sure.
I do think, actually, I should confirm this before I talk out of my ass. This similar to how Baseball Prospectus's metrics are a little bit lower on Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo's offensive profile, they're a little bit lower on Abreu's as well, but not drastically so. And he's closer to 50 warp as opposed to 60 F4, so borderline, but I'd
put it in. Borderline case, yeah.
That's still a very good player. Mm-hmm. Right, he's so. Way closer than you think, because when you first think of Bobby Abreu, like, you're not like, oh, Hall of Fame.
I think Bobby Abreu on the Mets.
Yeah, exactly. And he was like old and bad.
Met legend, though.
Extremely. All right, next up is Barry Bonds.
Yes.
That's it. Yes for me.
Yeah, probably.
Can we stop with this shit already? Like.
Yes, he's a terrible human being, but also he hit more home runs than anyone's ever hit.
Yeah, like, if you're keeping him out, you're keeping him out for character clause stuff. And that's like, valid. Yeah,
if you're going to, I don't know if I want to say that. I was going to say, like, Ty Cobb was also terrible. Lots of terrible people are in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So, I think.
Honestly, his terribleness was not that terrible to me, you know, in the grander scheme of things. He cheated, all right, whatever. He was a dick to reporters, whatever. He wasn't particularly well-liked. Okay, fine. Meh.
I think the steroid era is what it was. Everyone was using. It was borderline encouraged by the league.
Yep. He also had probably, like, the best decade.
Yes.
Anyone's ever had.
So. Right. But also, like, you can't eliminate an entire group of, like, years because of the steroid era. Like, then you're never putting anyone in.
So for half of that era, they weren't illegal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so weird to me that, like, you're banning some, you're not putting someone in the Hall of Fame for something that wasn't illegal at the time. Like, just because that's a lot of the guys we'll talk about.
Because we were doing it earlier for Randy Johnson, a totally separate discussion. Barry Bonds, 2001 to 2004. 12.5 wins, 12.7 wins, 10.2 wins, 11.9 wins. His lowest batting line in that stretch was a 212 WRC plus. What the fuck?
So, like, and incredible.
He was injured in one of those seasons. I think 2004, right? Like, he missed like a chunk of the year. I think it maybe
2003 was the year he missed a little bit of time, and that was his 212 WRC plus. The best video about Barry Bonds is still the SB Nation one where he would have posted basically the same WOBA if he didn't have a bat.
That's impressive. All right. Next up, Mark Burley.
No.
No, but very good. Underrated, but not a Hall of Famer.
Oh, I say overrated.
He was fun. Worked real fast.
He was, I think he's a guy that statistics, especially the more advanced statistics, are going to downplay because he was such a ground ball, pitch to contact kind of guy.
Hmm.
But he was effective.
You want to guess what his career K9 is?
I'm going to say 6.4.
No.
It's probably high.
Yeah. 5.1.
5, yeah.
Nice.
He didn't strike anyone out. That's impressive to me, honestly. He didn't strike anyone out and he was good.
Yeah, for virtually the entire time.
You know, like, he wasn't ever really bad, you know? Like, he just, that's how good he was at suppressing contact. Like, he did not have to strike you out. Because he didn't strike you out.
And it's not like we're talking about, you know, he played in the late 80s and early 90s. Like, when did he retire? Like, 2015, 2014?
Nailed it on the head, Steve. Yeah. And He threw 198 and two-thirds innings that year. So he had thrown 200 innings every season since 2001. He missed it by one and a third inning in 2015. It was like, I'm done.
He was I don't.
Yeah. He's a guy that can go to the White Sox Hall of Fame or the Toronto Blue Jays Hall of Fame, whatever, but not the Baseball Hall of Fame.
He has big, like, team Hall of Fame energy, for sure, for multiple teams.
Yeah.
And that's a good career.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up is Roger Clemens.
Yes.
Again, character clause doesn't get him in if you don't want to do that. That's the only way.
Yeah, I'm fine with Bonds, but not with Clemens, because character stuff with Clemens was way too far. Bonds was just like a shitty guy. Clemens was a lot more fucked up than that.
That's Pete Rose stuff with Clemens, like that level bad.
With I mean, fucking, what, I forgot her name. Whatever that girl's name was.
Yeah, the only, like, that's, if you're doing a pure baseball thing, he's in, because he was one of the best pitchers of his era, but I would never blame someone for character clausing people out of the Hall of Fame.
I have just Wikipedia'd what we're talking about. I was unaware. I would like
you didn't to know,
I,
yeah.
I did not know that. I'm changing my vote to no.
There's another dude coming up who there was something I didn't know about until recently.
I had to look her up. Mindy McCready, her name, yeah.
I apologize to the internet denizens for not having the sum total of human knowledge in my brain at all times.
Lucas, you know that's unacceptable.
Unacceptable. I'm canceled. Yeah, I'm going to go no.
Fuck Roger Clemens.
Yeah. I hate Roger Clemens. I was voting yes based purely on the baseball thing, but I hated him as a baseball player, and now, fuck that. Nope.
Honestly, I'm exactly petty enough to not vote for him for the Hall of Fame just because I think he's a, you know, giant
Shit. The Piazza bathrobe thing should have been a much bigger deal than it was.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's so bizarre that no one cared about that, really. Like, it just happened, and they were like, okay. Oh,
that
cool.
was insane.
Like, looking back on it, that would have been now, that would have been, like, on every Twitter account. It would have been a meme. It would have been a thing. It would have been a suspension. People would have been tweeting at the league. Like, it would have been a disaster.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up is Carl Crawford.
Carl Crawford was like my favorite non-Met in baseball at one point, but he fell off a cliff so fast.
Yeah, he got real bad real quick. He's a Rays Hall of Famer. Retired his number.
Definitely.
Man, what the hell happened to him? He went 2-3 wins, 6 wins, almost 8 wins, and then signed that big contract in Boston and was immediately just awful.
Yeah, it was weird. How old was he when he signed it?
I can do math.
I'm assuming
29.
That's even more bizarre because it's not like he should have been. It's not like he's 34, you know. Like,
he sometimes got when the legs go, they go.
Yeah. But I love Carl Crawford. I used to live.
One of my favorite players. Yeah.
I used to listen to the Schmoozer at like 2 in the morning on WFAN as a high schooler talking about Carl Crawford trades.
I always wanted the Mets to have Carl Crawford. Like he would like just slot him on top of the lineup and let him go. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I have a very big soft spot for like early 2000s Rays.
Yes.
I used to go down to Florida every year to Tampa. Mm-hmm. So we'd go to games like day of, buy tickets like 3 rows behind the dugout for like $20 because nobody ever went.
Because it's the early 2000s Rays.
Yeah, exactly. So like somewhere I have a hat with his autograph on it and a bunch of things. So he's always been one of my favorite players, but Hall of very good.
Yeah. Rays Hall of Famer, like I said, retire his number and let him live his best Rays life.
Mets Hall of Famer for giving us one of the best quotes in Mets lore.
Indeed.
All right. Next is Prince Fielder.
Oh, what could have been?
I wish this was a yes, but it's not.
So if you do the, like, 5-year peak argument, you can squint and kind of get him there, but he did have a few clunkers during that period.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he wasn't even, like, Prince Fielder.
Can we make, like, an aesthetic Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He was so good.
From like Prince Fielder was, I mean, everything that you guys said is also valid. And for me, like the whole air of being a Hall of Fame guy, like that's the same thing. He never was like the guy. Like at the same time that he was playing, you had Albert Pujols, you had Ryan Howard, like
the next guy on this list.
Second guy, but yeah. So like he never just felt like, oh shit, this is the guy. Unlike the next person, Todd Helton.
I don't know.
I used to think yes. I think I'm more no. If Keith Hernandez is not in the Hall of Fame, Todd Helton should not be in the Hall of Fame.
That's a pretty good comp. I never thought about that. Mm-hmm. He's a Rockies Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was really good.
He's like an actual like 5-year peak argument guy.
Yeah, like, because his 5-year peak was like
so
one of the
from 2000. Yeah, from 2000 in 2000 he was 8.3 F4, 2001 7.1, 2002 5.5, 2003 6.6, and then 2004 7.
That's a first baseman. Like
like, no, exactly. And his, lowest WRC plus he had in that time period was 141. That's like absurd.
I think he's actually pretty underrated. Like, I don't think people think of Helton like that, and he gets the Coors argument, but also, like, you don't do that unless you're good everywhere.
I agree with that.
Research has indicated
that, like, not even that recent at this point, like, within the last 5 to 7 years, we've understood more about how Coors hurts Coors hitters on the road. So.
You see that a lot when they leave, like, when they become free agents and stuff, and they're just hitting normally elsewhere.
All right, so this one might come down to the wire here. So I'm a yes. Lucas, you're still a no?
No.
I think I'm a no, just because, like, 5-year peak guys are tough for me.
I really like Todd Helton, but, yeah, no, I think I'm also a no.
Okay, so he is a no.
I feel like you need an extenuating circumstance for a 5-year peak, like a Koufax who got hurt. Like, that's sure. not really his fault.
Yeah, but right. Like, he played playing. Until he was 39, so.
Yeah, like, he kept playing. He just wasn't as good then, and that's fine. But that kind of disqualifies you from the Hall of Fame for me.
Fair. Next is Ryan Howard.
No. Move on.
He was good, though.
He wasn't that good. Move on. No, I don't want to relive Ryan Howard. No.
Next is Chase. No.
That the spirit of Pedro Feliciano is now looking down on you, Lucas, and he will protect you from Ryan Howard. Wow. So no worries.
Man.
Next, Tim Hudson.
No.
I'm going yes. No. Okay. Really? Yeah, it's Tim Hudson.
I just tried to pull up Tim Hudson, and I went to Daniel Hudson. That is the wrong Hudson.
Wrong person.
I'm a no on Tim Hudson. Yeah. Anyone want to guess Tim Hudson's career K9?
It's probably like 6.
5.99.
Oh, so 6.
6. Nailed it. Still no.
Torrey Hunter?
Hard no.
No. Not enough juice in his bat, I don't think.
Not good enough, and also another dickhead.
Was he a dickhead? I thought he was a nice...
I know almost nothing about Torrey Hunter.
He is infamously wildly homophobic.
Wow. Really? Okay.
Oh, I don't think I knew that.
Also, looking at his Fangraphs page.
Yeah, he's not good enough.
Not really that good.
No, he was a good defender and a real good defender and like a solid hitter, but not.
Interestingly
like,
enough, like DRS hates him.
That's really funny. That's like, funny. I wonder how that gets there because, like, obviously growing up, you don't think, like, you just know from watching, like, Baseball Tonight or whatever that he's a good defender. Like, that's how you got your information.
Really only Taylor Dahl. No, he had a couple of elite years there. Okay, never mind.
Speaking of okay hitters, but solid defenders, great defenders. Next up is Andrew Jones.
He's another dickhead.
For both character reasons and also.
What did I didn't know the character stuff until really recently. I was an Andrew Jones in the Hall of Fame guy, and then I Wikipedia'd him. I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, I made yes for him. What did he do?
Domestic battery.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That was also why I was referring to Barry Bonds as a terrible human being.
Yeah, yes, Barry Bonds. Yes. That's It's tough because character clause is like, it's a legit thing, and it changes how you view the Hall of Fame. And
there's a line for me on the character clause. It's the thing that Clemens is getting excluded for in my eyes. I think I still, I don't know. I think I'm a yes on Jones, but I don't feel good about it. I get why people would say no, and I don't have an argument against it.
So like for me, there's enough other people that deserve it and aren't bad people that I could
look, sleep at night if I had that's to. Fair.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I'm saying. That's fair. Like I could vote for somebody else and just be fine.
I also just hate his face. He was so good for the Braves for so long.
When the Mets draft Andrew Jones Jr.
I'm that kind of petty.
When the Mets draft Andrew Jones Jr. with one of their 800 picks. Because he's up this year, right?
He's eligible? So, yes. Yeah, next upcoming draft, yep.
Which is just like, goddamn, how old are we?
Very ancient.
All right, next up is, speaking of the Mets, Jeff Kent.
Yes!
It's weird because you got to kind of put him in second base category, right? Like,
yeah.
Comparatively to the position, he's one of the best hitters there just because second base is like a disaster.
I think he's in personally.
All right, like I'm a no. Lucas is a no. Yes.
That's I'm a no as well.
Thomas,
I'm gonna say no, just because okay. I don't think Hall of Fame. I don't think Jeff Kent.
Yeah, like it's those kind of things. Like he's on the bubble around 60 WAR.
Yeah, it's the bubble.
Yeah, I might revert to no. I don't know. I'd flip a coin.
That very good hitter tough. For his entire career.
That one's tough.
All right, next is Tim Lincecum.
Can we make a 2-year peak argument?
now that's a peak argument I might say anyway, just because like he was like an important part of the mid-2000s baseball scene.
But he
fell off a cliff massively.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be a no for him.
Yeah, unfortunate.
He didn't really have the if he didn't make it to 5 years, so
yeah.
He'll go in the Giants Hall of Fame, so he will always have that.
Oh, for sure.
Yep, won 3 championships. He's doing good.
Yeah.
He had
I think he's going to survive not being in the Hall of Fame, I think. He's going to have his 2 Cy Young
Awards. I'm
sure
somebody like him also could care less.
Yeah,
could not
possibly. I would guarantee that he doesn't even give one shit if he makes it or not.
Dude's living off in a camper van somewhere, living his best life.
Yeah, great. He hasn't thought about baseball in like 8 years.
next is Justin Morneau.
No.
Nah.
Nope.
Fantasy team stalwart for me for many years. Not a Hall of Famer.
Mm.
Not particularly close.
Joe Nathan.
How many saves he had?
Many.
He did have a lot.
I will tell you. He had 377.
Yeah, probably too low, right?
He's a no for me.
Relievers have to have like the above and beyond stuff.
There are 3 Hall of Fame relievers, and one of them is on this list. It is not Joe Nathan.
I agree. Because we're going to say him soon, I'm pretty sure.
Joe Nathan, no. David Ortiz.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Agreed. Duh.
Big Poppy. How's he doing, actually? Has he been fine since that stabbing? Has he recovered?
There's been no news to say that he hasn't. So
excellent. I'm very glad to hear that. I love Big Poppy. Put him in the Hall.
It's going to take more than that to take down Big Poppy.
Yeah, of course. He's like a borderline case that he's less than borderline, like based on stats, but I'm putting him in for aesthetic reasons.
Right. Exactly. And also, he has that air.
Uh-huh.
He's like an iconic DH. Like, yes. He might be the DH.
He is the DH, yes. Andrew Martinez, maybe?
Oh, that's true. And Frank Thomas. Like, sure. Those 3 guys.
He is the modern DH.
Yeah, modern, for sure. Like, the 2000s and 2010s, like, when you think of a DH, you want him to be Big Poppy.
Yep.
He also didn't figure it out until late, so I can give him a pass on some of it.
Agreed.
Which is impressive, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, his last season was legitimately one of his best.
He didn't need to retire. No.
He wanted to.
Right.
Yeah. He could have kept playing for sure and been fine. He just wanted to retire, which I respect.
Yep.
Next up is that Hall of Fame reliever I'm sure you were talking about, Jonathan Papelbon.
Can I share one of my favorite nicknames at the risk of making this a PG-13 rated podcast? I used to refer to him and still refer to him as the Papel bitch.
He was the worst. Ooh.
I hated him.
Just a horrible dude.
Yeah. And also,
I want to share a picture of him in our Slack.
Excellent podcast content.
Yeah, I know. But also, I want your reaction. But keep going.
Uh-huh.
It'll be there when it shows up.
Not even close for me.
No. He was good, but no, I don't care about that.
Yeah, he had a couple of All-Star seasons. He was fine. Yeah. For me, unless you are going, unless you are like untouchable, you're a Mariano Rivera, that's really the only way that I'm going with a relief pitcher.
Yes.
Agreed.
Next is Jake Peavy.
I loved Jake Peavy. He is not a Hall of Famer.
I agree.
Yep.
Loved Jake Peavy in the 2000s and early 2010s.
He was great.
He was.
Just not there.
Yeah, he needed a little bit longer of that longer peak.
Mm-hmm. Next is Andy Pettit.
Yes, and it's frankly ridiculous that he's not in the Hall already.
Yeah, he's probably a Hall of Famer. I don't care about the steroids much.
I'm a no.
I guess.
You're no on Andy Pettit?
Ken, you're the deciding vote here. What are you doing?
I think I'm a no.
Ken's picture just appeared in Slack.
I've never seen that before. That's funny.
It is Jonathan Papelbon. Is this post-2011 World Series?
Oh, yeah. I remember this one.
I think so. He just looks like a crazy person.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I do not like Jonathan Papelbon.
No. All right.
Pettit was best friends with Clemens. I'm going to rule him out on association.
Pettit was best friends with Clemens?
That's why he went to Houston at that time.
Well, look. Look, I'm younger than you people. I don't know these things.
Were you even born yet?
I think we're more or less the same age.
I'm like 2 years younger than you. I don't like ruling people out on association.
No, personally. Just this one case. Because I also just hate his face. So.
Also, he was a Yankee. Yeah, he did have a pretty punchable face.
I'm going yes on Pettit. I'm sorry. He was also like has arguably the greatest postseason resume of any pitcher.
Yeah, he might. He might deserve to be in there.
Well, we're getting talk I've about
heard punch. He's a good dude. I just
he
don't
feels like his face. He feels like a dude who like not like people don't think is very good, and he probably was, and people are just like, yeah, he's Andy Pettit, you know, like. Mm-hmm. And no one
reads about people with the punchable, hateable faces. We should get to the next guy, because holy shit.
Noted professional wrestler, AJ Pierzynski.
Get him the fuck out of here. Why is he on this ballot even? What are we doing?
I love these guys, though. Because
you're a catcher, Thomas.
No, I'm talking about the guys who really don't deserve to be on the ballot, and they just get on one, and they're just
like... I thought
like,
you just like dickhead catchers.
No, I know. But like... They get on the one ballot and they get zero votes and then they just get dicked off it and everyone's like, yeah, well, no one's voting for AJ Pierzynski.
Well, nevertheless.
Yeah, exactly. That happened. Like Raul Ibanez was on one, I'm pretty sure, and it's just like, well, okay. but yeah, no, he's not good enough.
Manny Ramirez.
Manny. Yes.
Ooh, probably. Yeah.
Yes.
Friend of the podcast.
Yes.
Definitely should come on the show.
Guru to the guru that never was to Francisco Alvarez.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we still have time, maybe. We'll see.
We do.
Next up is Alex Rodriguez.
Yes.
Hey, Russ. Yeah, he has to be.
He's in the Bonds category for me of like you can't really tell the story of baseball without him being there.
And listen, like his year-long suspension's rough, and it's a lot of steroid stuff, but also, like, that's the era.
He's one of only four guys to ever go 40-40. Another one is Bonds. You got to put them both in.
Like who's the fourth one?
Alfonso Soriano.
Yeah, he's the one I know, but who's the fourth?
Canseco did it once, I think.
Is it? I'm looking it up.
Hmm. Maybe, like, Mantle?
Oh, no, Ken got it. Canseco.
Huh. Yeah. He was before he, you know, became the Jose Canseco we know and love.
Yeah, right. He takes the home really, run ball off the noggin.
I didn't realize he was that like
speed guy for really just 1 year.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't realize he had that speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was A-Rod in the Hall, yes.
Yes. I mean, honestly, if you could date J-Lo, then you're automatically a Hall of Famer. I wish you could date J-Lo, you know. Hmm. Scott Rowland.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a modern guy, right? Like
he's
a
slam dunk Hall of Famer. It's not
because people don't agree with you with that. Like at
I know. To me, he's such a slam dunk.
So he doesn't feel like a Hall of Famer. But then I looked at his numbers. I looked at his Gold Gloves. He has like 9 Gold Gloves. It's like he was the center fielder of the era. So for me, it's
third,
a yes.
Third baseman of the era.
Third baseman. What am I thinking? Who's Jim Edmonds?
Yeah.
And if we're talking 5-year peak, he's also one of those guys.
Someone involved in that Andy Chavez catch has to be in the Hall of Fame. It's not going to be Andy. It's not going to be Ollie. It's probably not going to be Tim Edmonds. It's Scott Rowland.
And Scott Rowland was real good, and he was real good for a long time. Like he had the
from age 22 to like 29. He was basically a five win player every year.
Yep.
Like he had the peak, but also he had the longevity.
Yeah. And I know we've
had a few great seasons after that.
We found that many of our older defensive metrics were flawed in some way. I fully trust the glowing things they say about Scott Rowland.
Yeah.
I mean, just watch him. I know like that's not like.
No, nope, I think there are definitely there are defenders who the eye test fails you on, and there are defenders who the eye test works on. I think we could probably agree on that point. And Scott Rowland is a defender the eye test works on.
So this reminds me, I was saying this when the Mets got Lindor that his WARs were kind of low. And I was like, I think Ward underrates a guy like that.
Yes.
Just because I watched him play, I was like, nah, he's different at shortstop. Like,
and
like
oh, and the different defensive metrics agree. Like OAA agrees with you.
Yeah,
as opposed to like, UZR DRS.
Exactly, and it's like I was looking at his WARs, and I'm like, really? Like, I know he's like a good hitter. He's not like a superstar hitter. Sometimes he is, but like, man, you can't tell me you don't watch him play defense and he's not, like, special. Like,
he is Scott Rolen at shortstop.
Yeah.
Like, he's 20% better than league average with a absurd glove.
And, like, he keeps hitting like that. It's gonna, we're going to have the same conversation later.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, speaking of a shortstop, the next one is Jimmy.
No. Shut it down. Shut it down.
All right, next.
Oh, fucking Jimmy Rollins. Give David Wright his MVP back.
It's very true.
Just totally robs David Wright of an MVP because that suck.
Next, we have Mets legend Gary Sheffield.
Yeah. 500 home runs.
Yep. Did we skip someone in there?
Nope.
Okay.
Well, actually, yes, we did, because I don't know how to do the alphabet, but he's next.
I think Gary Sheffield's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
500 home runs.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I know that's like just the big numbers and that's kind of boring, but also when you hit 500 home runs in the major leagues.
You know, 140 weighted for his career. He's 40% he's better than the league average at the bat for his career. Put him in the Hall.
Real good.
Next is right-handed pitcher Curt Schilling.
No.
No.
Nope. Big no.
Nope.
This is the ultimate. Yes, this is the ultimate character clause, dude.
Yeah, I mean, when everything aside, when you really should be, like, in prison for tax fraud and stuff, then...
I mean, that's, like, honestly not the far...
That's
just the icing on the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 800 million more reasons.
I will admit that my view has evolved on this. I used to think the character clause was stupid and that every, like, it should be baseball only, but there are things egregious enough where the character clause needs to come into effect, and keep Curt Schilling the fuck out of the Hall, please.
Agreed. Next is Sammy Sosa.
Oh. Why do I feel worse about putting Sammy Sosa in the Hall than I do Gary Sheffield?
I do too, because I said yes immediately for Sheffield. Because I think Sosa had such a weird career. Like, it was really peak driven. But also, you can't tell the story of the 2000s without him and Maguire and the home run chase and all that. So, I don't know. That's a complicated one.
I'm a yes on him.
I think push comes to shove, I'm a yes.
I probably say yes.
Ken?
I think yes, but I don't like it.
Okay, I think we're all kind of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah.
Oh, he had 600 home runs. What am I talking about? Yes, Hall of Fame.
Okay, there you go. Like, then.
He had 600 home runs, but was only 20% better with the bat than league average for his career. That's crazy. Like, impressively inept, home runs.
That's Eugenio Suarez last year. Yeah. Hitting 30 home runs and he was bad.
Next is Mark Teixeira.
No. He was good, though.
I liked Mark Teixeira, even though he was a Yankee. I thought he was fun. Not a Hall of Famer.
Agreed. Hall of Very Good. I think if you have a big Hall, you put him in.
There's no world in which Mark Teixeira is in the Hall and Keith isn't.
I agree with you. But also, big Hall people probably put Keith in.
Sure.
Next is Omar Vizquel.
No.
No.
He was not a good enough hitter. Also, a lot of other things.
No for me.
It's a no for me, dog.
And last up is Billy Wagner.
Put him in the Hall of Fame for fuck's sake.
Yes. It's so bizarre that Hoffman and Mariano are in and not him. Especially Hoffman. Mariano's a different story. That dude was just...
Mariano's his own thing.
Yeah.
If you want to talk modern relievers, so, and I guess Raleigh Fingers maybe fits in this discussion, because he was kind of a modernish reliever at the time, whatever. Billy Wagner is the best modern reliever outside of Mariano Rivera.
Yeah, he has the better numbers. Like, all the numbers support that.
He struck out 12 dudes per 9 inning for his career. In only 900 innings, he has 24 WAR. Hoffman is, like, barely ahead of him with an extra 200 innings.
I feel like Hoffman had a rough end of his career. Not rough, but like he kind of fell off. Like, he was really good and then he fell off.
Mm.
before the strikeout numbers like ballooned in recent years, right? So if you sort by career strikeout numbers now, it's all modern guys. Like,
yeah. But like before that, if you want to cherry pick, go like 750 innings. He's literally the best of all time among relievers.
Okay, that's probably the best way to do this. Yes. Come on, Fangraphs, work with me. Fangraphs usually isn't this slow. All right, here we go. Yes, best of all time. Octavio Dotel? What?
Yeah. So Octavio Dotel Hall of Fame?
No.
Met legend, yes.
What are we doing? Billy, if Trevor Hoffman's in the Hall of Fame, Billy Wagner should be in the Hall
of Fame. Yes, I agree with
that. The Mets employed 5 of the 6 best on that list.
Nice.
At one point or another.
Oh, yeah, you're not kidding.
Not some great, not great names, but
what are the names on there?
Billy Wagner, Octavio Dotel, Armando Benitez is number 3, Francisco Rodriguez, 4, Joe Nathan, number 5, Tyler Clifford, number 6.
Interesting.
Before people loop back on our Joe Nathan decision, Joe Nathan's ERA was 0.2 higher, and he was 5 wins less good in a much less time. Like, Billy Wagner is far away the best pitcher here.
Like, relievers weird because unfortunately for them, you need to be special amongst the special.
I think almost no relievers belong in the Hall of Fame.
That's going to change though. Like,
it is going to change
as guys now get there because it's just not like it's a real, real valuable role now.
Let's rephrase it then. No relievers before like the modern era of relief usage belong in the Hall of Fame outside of these guys.
Agreed. I mean,
I think Raleigh Singers and stuff like guys like that deserve to go in.
Sure.
Like, set the archetype for what a relief pitcher is in today's day and age. You have a guy that's just going to blow away everyone with strikeouts and goodbye.
Billy Wagner is fucking disgusting.
Like, Craig Kimbrell is going to have a Hall of Fame chance because of guys like him. Like, and that's what it is. I don't know if he'll get in, but a guy like that will have the discussion based on, like, it won't be such a thing that's laughed off, and because it's guys like Billy Wagner, and to a lesser, not a lesser extent, because Hoffman was really good too, but a guy like Hoffman.
I think the argument becomes, how good are you on a per-inning basis?
Yeah.
And you have to be really, really, really fucking good on a per-inning basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like Billy
like
Wagner.
You can get a lot of like Lee Smith is fairly close in terms of WAR to
yeah, that's leader, a that's
but
a good...
he pitched like 400 more innings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what you did,
right? So like Billy Wagner's like the elite of the elite on a per inning basis.
Just to put a bow on a previous discussion, Wally Fingers belongs in the Hall of Fame for the mustache alone. Like, let's be real.
Yeah,
agreed.
He could have been the worst player in baseball and he would belong in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, Wagner's somehow underrated.
Which Wagner?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, people don't realize how good he actually was.
The fact that we're having this argument at all is a testament to that he's underrated. Yeah. Like, on a per-inning basis, he's better than Mo?
That's tough. That's a different argument, though, because Mo was just, like, the closer.
I mean, look, I'm not going to argue that he's better overall than Mariano Rivera, because it's Mariano fucking Rivera. But statistically, on a per-inning basis, I think Billy Wagner's actually better.
Listen, in my heart, only one guy enters my heart to enter Sandman, so.
Oh, of course. No, look, Mariano Rivera is, he is the closer. I'm not trying to ruffle anyone's feathers on that front.
No, he is the guy, yeah.
Well, ironically, we picked exactly 10 guys. So
we did?
Yeah, we don't need
to. Wow!
I'm including the guys we were split on, just because.
So who's going in on our ballot?
The From Complex to Queens official ballot. We'll have this certified and sent in. It's going to be Barry Bonds, Andrew Jones, David Ortiz, Andy Pettit, Manny Rodriguez, Manny Ramirez. We're combining the two.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Imagine Manny and A-Rod put together.
Oh, boy.
Douchiest player ever. Manny Rodriguez. Manny Ramirez.
There we go. Third Alex time's Rodriguez. Charm.
Scott Rowland, Gary Sheffield, Sammy Sosa, and Billy Wagner.
We all voted Big Poppy, though. Did you say David Ortiz?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. He did.
Okay. I missed that. Okay.
I actually feel pretty good about that ballot.
That's a good ballot. No shame.
I might have pushed harder for Abreu, but that we were split on that one. That's the only guy I'm looking at this and being annoyed he's not included. And if we're looking at the other 10 guys, yeah, he's the guy that gets left off. So, fine.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
So yeah. We are now better than like 95% of the actual Hall of Fame voters, because most of them suck.
Man. Yeah, pretty much.
Some of those lists are rough.
All right, well, we will wrap things up with the Wilpon Rave of the Week, and that goes to Major League Baseball owners, Rob Manfred, every single Major League Baseball executive. You know, take your pick, really.
They all suck.
For once, the Wilpons can't actually be the Wilpons of the Week. So.
Oh, they would have voted for a lockout so hard.
100%. 100%.
So they're probably pissed that they had to sell before they could do this vote.
I was almost like marginally surprised Cohen voted for the lockout. I would have been amused if he was like, no, fuck y'all, I'm spending money.
I just bought this team.
Yeah, man, I want to play with my new toy.
Could you imagine?
That would have been hysterical.
He would have been like actually hated amongst the
owners. There would have been some very bad ramifications. They probably would be,
like conspiring to remove the team from him if that happened.
Yeah, like honestly, like
he that's probably, the kind of shady like, shit they do. Like,
I think, look, we probably overrate how intelligent, smart people are. We're like, oh, they have a lot. Wait, I just did that completely wrong. We overrate how intelligent rich people are because we're like, oh, they have money, they must be smart. And Cohen is definitely a bit of a troll, but he's not that stupid. He would not do that. Would have been funny, though.
It would have been hilarious. He signs Max Scherzer and then votes for no lockout.
Comes out on Twitter immediately like, fuck y'all, fuck these other owners. I got money. I want the best players.
I want to see Max Scherzer pitch. No lockout.
If everyone else is locking the players out, then we automatically win.
Ooh, you're right.
We automatically get all the players.
World Series by default.
World strategy. All right, well, if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you can send us an email at our email address from complextoqueens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Seipel. Lucas is at elvlahos343. Ken is at kenlavin91. Thomas is at SedMetSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast from. Rate and review. And, of course, we thank you for listening. So we will be back next week. So until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.
Next time you catch the big game, catch $10 when you sign up with Venmo. Whether you're splitting a ride to the stadium or grabbing nachos for the group, Venmo makes it easy to share the fun and split the bill in the app. Sign up today with promo code SBNation and get $10 to send and spend. Offer ends December 31st, 2021. Limited availability. See terms at venmo.me/signup10. That's $10 with code SBNation.